May the words that I speak and the words that you hear be Christ's words. Amen. Have a seat, everyone. So, when I read this gospel earlier this week, I thought, this is Home Alone from the first century, which is that famous Christmas movie, and I don't know if you know it all, but I'll review it for you. The McAllister family, like lots of kids, mom and dad, they're going to visit Paris for Christmas, and they got one bratty 8-year-old kid, and he's acting out one day, so they send him up to the attic for punishment, and they bring everyone all together, they rush to get in the taxi, they get to the airport, they get on the plane, as they're going over the Atlantic, the mother says, "Where's Kevin?" Like, that's the story, right? Where's Jesus? What do you mean? Where's Jesus? And it's a comedy, in a sense, because it seems so ridiculous to us today. But it's hard to understand because, well, our lives are so markedly different in the way that we live compared to others. Well, not everyone, but you'll understand when I explain that for some people, like when I grew up, I had my grandparents living next door and we had lots of family. But when my children grew up, I had joined the military and I was moving all over the country and we were a nuclear family. Mom, dad, 4 kids, and no one else. Okay? And that's the society's norm. Like when you think of, you know, what do we see in the movies and the pictures? We see more of that than we see of the extended family, you know, 4 generations living in a great big huge house with 10 bathrooms and 14 bedrooms and all that stuff, right? And that's what makes the story seem strange to me. And whenever I find something that feels strange, I got to dig deeper. That's just my nature. And it's usually strange for me because I've made assumptions usually about the context, because I'm thinking of my life today and I'm not thinking of the way people lived back then. Or I've let some of my 21st century biases creep into the story and it kind of makes me make the wrong conclusions. And, you know, in a way, it's our 21st century bias about the nuclear family that makes Home Alone so funny. Like, how could they not know where their son is? How could they not know that? Now, life in ancient times was not like it is today. So we didn't have this idea of the individual. People lived in community. You were a person, but you weren't a person if you weren't in relationship. Like, you can't just stand alone. You're in relationship with your God. You're in relationship with your family, with your friends. So much, much different. And that's why you see it even extends to the community. We were talking between services about how when Eva was young, she sent her kids to school, people were calling along the way to say, "Oh, yep, they passed our house. They passed our..." I mean, that's a different way of living than we see today, right? Now, what Luke wants his readers to notice about the story isn't that Jesus stayed behind and Joseph and Mary didn't notice. What Luke wants his readers to notice is that Mary and Joseph didn't know just where to find Jesus. 3 days they search in vain in Jerusalem, trying to find this young boy, 12 years old. They've looked for Jesus in all the wrong places. Why did it take them 3 days to figure out where Jesus was? Shouldn't they know he'd be in the father's house about his father's business? Now, what's interesting in this story that you may not know is 12 years of age is kind of the end of childhood for a young boy in a Jewish family. 13, they become a man. So what's happening here is this exact point is kind of the last story of the birth narrative of Jesus. So this is it. Okay, so he's coming to finish his childhood, and now we get this story that hints at what's going to happen. He's now 12, but Jesus knows what he's supposed to do. But what's interesting is maybe things have been so ordinary for so long as a child that Mary and Joseph, they they've forgotten the mystery that surrounds Jesus' birth. I mean, for us, it was only last Wednesday that we read the stories of the shepherds and the angels and the three kings. But maybe Mary and Joseph had sort of that had faded into their memory, and the Old Testament prophecies. Or maybe they figured that they knew what Jesus was going to do, but it was a long way as away, so they just let it rest. Maybe they just didn't see that their baby boy was growing up. I have lots of questions and no answers. I mean, there really isn't answers in a sense to what happened in that family. But we can't know for certain. The Bible doesn't tell us a lot. It tells us that, you know, Jesus' birth, tells us that Herod, when the wise men left, they left surreptitiously because Herod wanted information about where all the boys were born in his kingdom, and then Jesus and Mary and Joseph had to leave and go to Egypt, and they had come back. So that's part of the story that we know, but not much more else than that. We don't really know much about the life of preteen Jesus. And there's no other authors in the New Testament that really give us any information of what life was like in there too. We can go to some there are some things that were written, but they were written so long after it happened that really we can't really put a lot of credence into what those stories were. And since Jesus is 12, 13 is when he becomes a man, we do know that there's significance in that. Now, Luke isn't trying to point to bad parenting here. Like, that might be a place where your mind goes, but that's not what he's trying to do. He's setting the stage for Jesus to state clearly what it is, in his own words, that this relationship he has with God is all about. And that's what this does. When Mary and Joseph finally find Jesus on the third day, and Mary asks, "Child, why have you treated like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." And Jesus answered, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you not know that I must be about my father's business?" There's a lot of symbolism here. Luke's letting everyone know that as Jesus' childhood ends, he's fully aware of his place and role in the world at 12. Okay, he's had his childhood, his parents have looked after him, and now he's a man, he's got things to do. They didn't find Jesus in the expected places. I'm guessing, you know, like in the market trying to steal some pies or some fruit, playing with some people in a brook, or who knows, kissing a girl in the back corner. Don't know. But they found him alive and well in the temple of Jerusalem among the teachers of the law, a 12-year-old. Not only that, he was giving them profound answers to their questions and asking as profound questions to them. This is the very place and the very people who later will have Jesus tried, convicted, and handed over to the Romans to be killed. So his parents find him in a place where they didn't expect. And, you know, this three-day thing, there's a lot of symbolism here, too, about maybe Easter and what's going to happen when his disciples will also wonder and search in vain for 3 days after the crucifixion, before they discover that Jesus was again doing the will of his Father. So Luke's dropping all sorts of hints here about death, burial, resurrection, a new temple, Christ's resurrected body. And when we search for Jesus, it will come to an end in new life, meaningful life, the life that God intends, but not necessarily the life we expect. But that's Easter. For now, Jesus is returning to Nazareth with his parents, and he disappears back into the fabric of his hometown. For at least 2 more decades, Jesus is in an out-of-the-way place, far removed from religion and politics, in the company of ordinary people just like us. And here, Jesus continues to grow in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. For now, this first Sunday of Christmas, we're left with this interaction between Jesus and Mary, the tension between them, between Mary and Jesus, the Son of God, is heightened. It's clear that Jesus' priorities have changed, and his primary concern is not the will of his parents, but the will of God and the mission that God's will entails. Mary and Joseph were looking for Jesus in all the wrong places. Now, just 6 days ago, on Wednesday, we celebrated how God entered into our lives through the birth of Jesus. Through the incarnation, we know that God embraces the joys, the sorrows, the hopes, and the tragedies of our human lives fully and completely. God draws near to us and all the world in love in Jesus Christ in order to bring us comfort, encouragement, and hope, both for this life and the one to come. But now we're 6 days into the 12 days of Christmas. And for some of you, maybe it already feels like Christmas is over. Certainly our culture is moving on. I mean, ads celebrating Christmas started right after Remembrance Day, really, in Canada. And the cultural frenzy of gift-giving and stuff, well, it's starting to die down. People are taking their gifts back to stores. And I know there are a few sales, but really it's winding down because we've got to get ready for the next big event, right? New Year's is coming. Fireworks, parties. And sometimes, we got to take time for Christmas. We took 4 weeks to prepare an Advent. And that may seem countercultural and a difficult tradition to sustain, but I think it's so important because it's very easy for these big cultural events to become idols, where we're looking forward to that instead of to the hope that Jesus brings. And we need to continue our celebration and contemplation of God's act in the newborn babe of Bethlehem for another 6 days. Yeah. The good news for us this week after Christmas is like Mary and Joseph. If we look, we'll find Jesus, and he will show us the way to God. Amen.